Atlanta's News and Talk.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. You know, this week we've been inundated with information and warnings about the flu and the coronavirus. So maybe to ease your fears and answer your questions, I went to the top and brought in the president of the Medical Association of Georgia, Dr. Andrew Reisman. And Dr. Reisman, I know you're extremely busy right now, so thanks for spending an hour with us on Atlanta Living. And first of all, I'd like to spend maybe the first half of the show talking about the flu, the second half of the show talking about the coronavirus, but the flu has been kind of a nasty little thing this year for us.
Oh, yes, tremendously. It's a pleasure to be here with you, by the way.
Thank you. Well, why don't you give us some stats so people can see the vastness and of the flu, and then we can compare that to the coronavirus.
Well, on an average flu season, you might have up to 36,000 people that end up in the hospital with severe illness related to the flu. About 36,000 people will actually die from the flu, and up to 200,000 people may be in the hospital. We have had some bad years in the past. A couple 3 years ago, 2017, 2018 flu season, one of the strains either mutated or was missed for the vaccine, and we had about 80,000 people that died and almost a million people that ended up in the hospital with severe flu and complications related.
A million ended up in the hospital with complications or being treated for the flu.
Yes.
That's unbelievable. And so this year doesn't compare to 2 years ago.
No, I think we're doing a little bit better this year with the flu. I've seen a small percentage of patients that had a flu vaccine and came in with flu-like symptoms. Of course, generally what I've seen over my last 24 years in private practice is people that get a flu shot and then still may contract the flu, whatever strain it may be, are usually significantly less ill than somebody who did not have a flu shot.
Okay.
In other words, they can walk in, even smile, and tell me about what their symptoms are, whereas most other patients, I can tell they have the flu when they're barely limping down my hallway. I'll walk into the exam room and find them lay it out on the table, often with a sheet over their head, and they answer my questions with moans and groans.
Yeah, you know, people say, oh, the flu is not that bad. My son said, I've had the flu. It's not that bad. I'm not going to get a virus. I said, son, you obviously then have never had the flu if you've not prayed to die.
Once you've had the flu, you usually don't call anything flu or flu-like except the flu ever again.
Right, right. So what do you say to those patients that say they're going to play a little roulette with the chances of getting the flu? My chances are greater with not getting the flu, so I'm not going to get the flu shot.
Well, there's a couple comments I make. You know, one thing that people don't realize is that they get exposed to the flu 10 to 14 days before they actually come down with symptoms. And two, sometimes even 3 days before they actually get sick, they're actually passing the flu to their friends and loved ones. So most of the time, people wake up, they go to work or they go to school.
And feeling fine at that time.
They have no idea. And then at some point, usually after lunch, 2 o'clock in the afternoon is what I find is most classic, they get suddenly extremely sick. And at that point, they've done a disservice to their fellow man for the previous 24 to 48 hours, depending on how many people they've come into contact with. And that's one of the things that makes flu such an important disease to get vaccinated against, is because it spreads and you don't know that it was spread to you. It's a little bit different than strep throat, where somebody says, I know we were at dinner the other night and I woke up on Sunday morning with strep throat, Well, then you have an idea, okay, maybe something's going to happen, and it will. If you got exposed to it, it'll happen in 3 days or 4 days. But the flu, you won't ever know where you got that flu from.
And how does it spread? Is it airborne? Is it saliva? How is it?
Yeah, it's both airborne and droplets. It can survive for extended periods of time on solid surfaces. So you could walk past somebody in the grocery store that sneezes or coughs or even just speaks. People don't realize that when they're talking, especially closely, there's little tiny spittles of saliva that fly.
Oh, that's gross.
It is, but it's just natural humankind. It's the way that one of the ways these viruses have adapted to survive themselves. Also, you know, somebody that touches their nose or wipes their tears or has a cough and sprays some of those droplets on your grocery cart, on your desk, on your telephone. Those are all ways that you can easily contract the flu just by coming into contact with that substance, whether it's airborne droplets or on a surface, and then touching your eyes, nose, or mouth.
Oh, wow. I'm going to become a hermit. Folks, if you have a question for Dr. Andrew Reisman, give us a call, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Well, what about the constant hand washing and the hand sanitizer? And before you came in, I mean, I went all over this studio and sanitized everything, my phone, everything that you were going to touch. And I think that's why they keep me around, because I clean the studio and made sure the studio was as sanitary as possible.
That's exactly the right thing to do. Using hand sanitizers, even better, actually washing your hands with soap and water, covering your nose and mouth when you sneeze or cough, even better than covering it, cover it with your sleeve, cough into your elbow if possible, because you're going to sneeze or cough into your hand and then touch somebody,
yeah,
something or somebody. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Clean your living and work surfaces with antiseptics.
Okay, look at this microphone screen. We all share this microphone screen, and 24/7, and it's just a petri dish of whatever's going around.
Yes, I thought about that when you asked me to come, and I think about that every time I grab a microphone to speak anywhere. I think about it when there's singing involved, such as karaoke.
Yeah.
But, you know, you take a chance when you're a star.
Okay. Maybe I'll get my own screen. Maybe I'll move up in the world and get my own screen. Okay. So there are things that we can't get around, but at the grocery store they have those wipes. Use them.
Oh yes, I not only walk into the store and wipe the handle of the grocery cart, but I wipe the top of the child seat. And even though there may be people stacking up behind me, I go all around the whole entire top of the cart, because you never know if you're going to be standing in front of the cart when somebody comes up behind you and you need to pull it out of
yeah.
the way. And I've done extremely well of avoiding the flu over the last 34 years or so.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines, Dr. Reisman, and see if we can help and answer some questions for Tom in Acworth. Tom, you're on WSB. How are you today?
My wife has three that we know of autoimmune disorders, scleroderma, lupus, and another one I can't even think of right now. But I was told that I'm not supposed to get a flu shot because she can catch the flu from me. Is that true, or what can I do about that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some myths out there. There's two ways that you can get a flu vaccine. There is a nasal spray that uses a live virus, and that would be something that you would want to avoid if you yourself has an autoimmune type of disorder, a significant illness, such as cancer, heart disease, poorly controlled diabetes, emphysema, or COPD. But the vaccines that we've been using in the injectable form over the last 10 years or so are killed viruses. So they're not able to actually cause any kind of infection in your body. All they can do is show your immune system what the current strains of flu look like, so that your immune system antibodies can recognize that as soon as it gets into your body and kill it immediately. So, you know, your wife would benefit from getting the vaccine herself, as would you, mm-hmm. as long as you confirm that it's not a live attenuated flu virus that you're getting vaccinated with.
All right. So if you went to Walgreens or whatever, that's the kind I can get, or should I go to the doctor?
Right. But, you know, not knowing your wife's history and the medications that she's on and what else may be going on, it'd probably be best to consult with her physician and make sure that the information that you got is only regarding the live virus.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the call. We've got just a minute left. Are all the vaccinations that are being given across the city the same?
Not necessarily. There's trivalent and quadrivalent, which means there's either three types or four types.
I did the four type.
Yes, that's the best one. You know, having had the flu myself in the past, and being the first recipient of the flu shot in my office every year by mandate. I always opt for the higher numbers, and you know, one of the other things that we noticed when the H1N1 flu was blowing around, I think back in 2008, that younger people were the ones that were actually dying from the flu. People between 30 and 50 years old were more susceptible than the older people, and the reason we think that occurred was that people that were 50 and older at the time had either been exposed to or gotten a vaccine against the swine flu back in the 1960s.
Mm.
The swine flu was one of the components, not all of it, but one of the components of the flu vaccine. And we think that immunity was retained. So my thoughts are, the more flu shots you get, the less likely you're going to run into a flu, even if a strain is missed on the vaccine.
Brilliant information you can use. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll take in your calls, 404-872-0750, only on 95.5 WSB. Thank you, Scott. Welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We are talking about how to avoid getting the flu, and if you have it, what should you do? And we're also talking about the coronavirus. If you want to give us a call, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. For my guest in the studio, I went all the way to the top. I got the president of the Medical Association of Georgia. He is a family practitioner, member of the Georgia Composite Licensing Board, and he's with the Longstreet Clinic in Gainesville. And that's Dr. Andrew Reisman. So welcome to the studio. Thanks for spending your Saturday with us. You did not have to wear a coat and tie and stethoscope.
I dressed for our Medical Association of Georgia meeting beforehand, and it was just convenient that it was only 6 minutes from our meeting site to the studio, so I
That's
appreciate that.
Good. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, Dr. Reisman, and speak with Sally in Fairburn. Sally, you're on WSB. How are you?
I'm good, Belinda. I have a question. I'm going to be traveling next month to Australia, and we have a lot of different stops, and we'll be out of the country a lot in the next few months. And I'm a little concerned about this new virus that's out there, and I want to know the best way for me to protect myself from it.
Well, the same way as we discussed earlier about preventing the flu, you want to make sure you keep hand sanitizer handy, wash your hands every opportunity you get, keep your hands away from your eyes, nose, and mouth as much as possible. You know, watch where you put your hands. If you have an opportunity to wipe something down before you use something that's been touched by the public, as we were talking about the shopping carts earlier, that's always a good idea.
Should you wear gloves? Is that overkill?
Probably.
Okay.
And I'm a massage therapist, so that concerns me also.
Right. Well, you know, you still have the risk of somebody, you know, coughing or sneezing. The coronavirus is actually more along the lines of the common cold. There have just been some variances in that virus that's made it more dangerous and lethal. People get sicker from some of these mutations. Some of these viruses catch their own names, like SARS and MERS. Right now I understand this is just the Chinese coronavirus, but you are at much higher risk to get the flu than you are to catch one of these particular strains. And okay. Your risk of death from it is fairly low, although these strains can make you pretty sick.
Okay, well, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
All right, Sally. Have a great trip.
Okay, thank you, darling.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, we have one segment left with Dr. Andrew Reisman, president of the Medical Association. Jump on the line, 404-872-0750. And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. This hour, we're talking about the flu and the coronavirus. And so I guess we're talking about your health and well-being here on Atlanta Living. And I brought in the top man in charge, president of the Medical Association of Georgia. He is a family practitioner, member of the Georgia Compost Licensing Board, and he practices at Longstreet Clinic in Gainesville. Dr. Andrew Reisman, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having me, Belinda.
And you've given us some great information, and we're getting some great questions from the listeners. And folks, if you want to join us, if you have questions about the flu, how to decide between if you have allergies, a cold, or the flu, how to decide between, give us a call 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. There's lots of misinformation going around out there and on the internet. So we'd like to debunk that for you. And we're going to go to Dave in Oxford. Dave, you're on WSB. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good, sweetheart. How can we help you?
Well, I've got a little situation. I've got chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and I've had a doctor tell me not to get the flu shot, and I'm working for an employer who's strongly, strongly encouraging that I get the flu shot, and I just come off. I'm still battling this thing after 3 weeks, and I'm still not 100%, so I'm trying to figure out whether to battle the employer over no, I shouldn't get it, or is it okay to take the shot?
Well, if it was your hematologist that's taking care of you, your leukemia, that has some special reason that you should avoid the flu vaccine, I would defer to his judgment. If it was somebody other than that physician that told you, I would probably consult your hematologist and find out if they agree or disagree with the opinion of that other physician. But as I stated earlier, people that have compromised immune systems, and that would be people with leukemia, should do whatever they can to protect themselves from disease. And a flu vaccine is a very important part of that.
Well, that still leaves me kind of twisted because it's my hematologist that told me not to get the shot.
Well, then I would avoid that. There may be some medication that you're on that may interact poorly, or he may have a particular concern about the current status of your disease state. So, if the physician that is actually caring for the problem you're having recommends against a flu vaccine, I would certainly follow that advice. It would be strongly recommended that all of those around you, and I applaud your employer for their policy, get the flu vaccine. Family members, any close friends that you have, or close contacts, because the way that you would avoid the flu without having immunity yourself, there's something called herd immunity. And that means if you vaccinate all the chickens except for maybe one against a particular illness, it's likely that one chicken is probably not going to get the illness either, because there's not an opportunity for it to be exposed to the disease state.
Gotcha.
All right.
All righty. Well, that kind of tells me to keep doing as I'm doing at the moment then, and go with the people that study this disease and treat it all the time, and just try to do everything I can other than a shot to keep from getting it, because this thing was rough this year. It's been 3 weeks, and I'm still not 100%.
Well, it sounds like that's probably something other than the flu. One thing that people really don't understand is that the flu vaccine prevents the flu, influenza type A and B, but it doesn't protect you from any other kind of illness that goes on. Also, some people might come in with two different illnesses. I had 1 year where every single person that came in with a fever got a flu test and a strep test, and about 99% of them came up with both strep and flu. And the only way we figured that out is people were going to urgent cares or ERs and getting treated for the flu, and then coming back to me 4 or 5 days later still sick and feverish, and the strep test revealed they had that as well. And it turned out that whatever was getting passed was two separate infections that people were getting hit with at the same time.
And the medication's going to be different.
Oh, yeah. You need Tamiflu or Zofluza for the flu.
That's what I was thinking, that maybe it had turned into bronchitis now, since it seems to be in my chest. So.
Certainly so.
All right. Thanks for your call, Dave. Good luck.
All righty. Thank you guys for the information.
Okay. Bye-bye. It is 42 minutes after 1 o'clock and 43 degrees here on Peachtree Street. I think our high is supposed to be in, the mid to low 40s. So it's going to be kind of a blustery day here in Atlanta. So we want to keep you as healthy as we possibly can. So if you have questions about the flu, or getting the flu shot, we're here for you. How late can you get a flu shot in the flu season and it still help?
Ever since that H1N1 that I mentioned from the late 2000s, I've seen an extension in the flu season. I'll usually hear about it just before or after school starts, even before the vaccines for the particular season are available. And we'll still catch cases of the flu in our office up to the second week in June.
Wow.
So I will.
Now, am I still protected? Because I was like the first one.
Oh, yeah. I think as I mentioned earlier, I think the immunity against a particular vaccine, you know, lasts a long time unless you have some other kind of issue that's going on, say maybe chemotherapy that could be destroying your immune cells.
Okay.
I'm the first one in my office to get the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
As soon as it comes in the door, I get a shot. I had the flu one time, and that was about enough for me.
Yeah.
People come in April, and I still ask, have you had a flu vaccine? So I'll vaccinate people usually about till the second week in April. It does take 2 weeks to build your immunity, so by the time we're getting to May, you're probably out of the woods, but it just depends on who's been walking around with it and how late, and whether you might come into an interaction with them or the fluids they might have left behind somewhere.
Okay. Back to the phone lines we go, and we're going to speak with Charles Incoming. Charles, you're on WSB. How are you today, sweetie?
I'm doing okay for an old man. How are you?
Oh, you don't sound old.
I was just curious as to whether there's any truth to someone having egg allergies having a negative reaction to the flu shot. The sickest I've ever been was on a flu shot, and I used to be in healthcare and worked in a lot of ORs, and a lot of my doctors didn't take the flu shot. And when I took it, because some of our hospitals required it, I got sick and was told it's because I had an allergy to eggs. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, the flu vaccine is or the viruses that they grow to then kill and make the vaccine with are grown in egg medium. So, if you are allergic to eggs, there's a chance that some of those egg antigens are also in the flu vaccine. So, before you get a flu shot, you should be filling out a questionnaire that asks specifically about egg allergies.
I did. Nobody ever mentioned anything about it. And then when I got that negative reaction, I was like, well, nobody ever mentioned that about the egg allergies. So.
Right. Well, we have everyone in our office fill out a questionnaire beforehand, and if they indicate that they have egg allergies, we do recommend against the vaccine. Yeah. And those are the people that have to rely on the herd immunity.
You know, every year, Neil Bortz would tell me he couldn't get the flu shot because he was allergic to eggs, and I just thought he was being a big baby and not getting the flu shot.
I think he was more allergic to needles. He was more allergic to needles.
We do see a lot of that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I was just curious because I also found it interesting. So many of the doctors that I worked with in the anesthesia world, they stayed away from the flu shot. So it was like, why, you know? So,
well, that's always interesting to me as well. I'm occasionally surprised by some of my colleagues that are not exactly practicing what they preach for themselves.
Right.
I believe in it. I go for my physical exam every year, and I take all the precautions that are necessary, and I've stayed very healthy because of it. One of the other things that people are not aware of is because of that long incubation period, the 2 weeks from exposure to when you get sick, is you might have already gotten exposed to the flu before you get your vaccine,
mm-hmm.
or you get exposed to the flu after you get your vaccine, which takes 2 weeks for your immunity to kick in. So some people feel like I took the flu shot and I got the flu. Well, most of the time, you probably already had the flu,
yeah.
or you got the flu shortly after your vaccination, and it didn't have time to provide full immunity. Most of the time, if you're going to have a reaction to a flu vaccine, it's going to be very mild and brief. Within 24 hours, you might have a little bit of scratchiness in the throat or a little runny nose or feel a little tired or run down. But over the last 10 years, when my patients do have reactions, it's a very small percentage, probably less than 0.5%. And two, they usually are not out of work. They're not out of school. They just don't feel 100%.
My arm just feels like my brother frogged me.
There you go.
That's just what it feels like.
Yeah, sore arm is much more common than any other kind of infection. But, you know, it is a needle in the muscle in your shoulder. So,
all right,
that's going to hurt.
We're going to take our final break. We're speaking with Dr. Andrew Reisman, president of the Medical Association of Georgia, and we're talking about the flu and how you can avoid it and what to do if you get it. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB. Thank you, Scott. This has been the most informative hour. Thank you so much, Dr. Reisman, for being on the show. And I know that you had some obligations since you are the president of the Medical Association of Georgia. And you're a family practitioner, member of the Georgia Compost Licensing. What is that composite?
Yes, yeah, composite. It's a Georgia Composite Medical Board. We're responsible for checking in the physicians that are asking for a license in Georgia, and then making sure they stay compliant with their requirements, and we investigate complaints against physicians, and we're the disciplinary arm for the state.
Excellent.
To try to protect the patients in the state of Georgia.
And you practice with Longstreet Clinic in Gainesville.
Yes, we're a large multi-specialty group. Started in 1995. We're having our silver anniversary this year. We just got the invitation to the party.
I hope they invited you.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we're going to see if we can help Pamela get one more question in here. Pamela in Pendergrass, you're on WSB. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
Good. How can we help you?
Well, I wanted to ask the doctor if a pneumonia shot is the same as getting a flu shot, because the VA kind of forces me to take the pneumonia shot every year, and they gave me one earlier this year, but they didn't say anything about a flu shot. So are they the same?
No, they're not. There's two different types of flu shots. There's one that's been around for probably 20 or 30 years that has 23 different strains against the streptococcal pneumonia bacteria, which is different than a virus. And then there's a newer pneumonia vaccine called Prevnar that covers 13 additional strains that back when the original vaccine came out really weren't an issue for causing pneumonia in people, but have become more of a problem over the years. The pneumonia vaccines, unless you have some kind of immune condition or...
I do.
Maybe that's why they're giving it to you more frequently. But for most healthy people, you need just the two pneumonia vaccines when you get into your 60s and then never again. If you have an underlying condition like diabetes or emphysema or heart disease, you'll get one of the probably both of the pneumonia vaccines early. And then after age 65 or 5 years later, you'll get the older pneumonia vaccine again. Now, the flu vaccine, you need a new one every single year because the strains of flu do mutate. So it can start out as one particular type of flu and change some of its properties that will evade your immune system. And then sometimes, of course, as I mentioned, the strain that they build their vaccines against is missed or it mutated, and having that immunity from past vaccinations is sometimes very helpful.
All right. Thank you for your call. Okay. Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Dr. Andrew Reisman, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed sharing my knowledge with everybody, and I hope everybody stays healthy.
Stays healthy. All right. Monica Perez is coming up next. Stay tuned. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB.